What if you were the living embodiment of all pervasive peace? What if all sentient beings all around you increased their vibration towards harmony by merely being in your contact? What if through conscious reasoning, focused will, and intentional living, you reform yourself, thereby becoming a catalyst and sparking transformation in others? I'm Shilpa Lewis, meditation and mindfulness coach for midlife mompreneurs, and you are listening to Omnipresent Awareness, the podcast that will inspire you to use your story to serve humanity in not just healing, but thriving as souls, each fulfilling their highest purpose. Welcome to Omnipresent Awareness with Shilpa. This is your host, Shilpa Lewis, owner and founder of Omni Mindfulness Coaching. Before we get started, if you haven't already booked a free discovery session with me, click on the link in the description. I'm a holistic transformational life coach, specializing in helping midlife mompreneurs bring balance, clarity, and life alignment, both personally and professionally, so that you may live your best life. There is tremendous healing value in simply being able to know someone is holding authentic space for you to listen and be accessible as an accountability partner and mentor. If you feel overwhelmed or if you feel the need for some support navigating life as a mother or as an entrepreneur, I would love to provide you with my coaching. If any anecdotes from the stories of the guests from this episode or any of the podcast episodes resonate with you, or if you find any value at all from the content from these episodes, then consider booking a free discovery call with me. Together, we can manifest my vision to be instrumental in the biggest rise in consciousness and awareness and human transformation. And now, here is today's episode. And now, a conversation recorded with my partner in awareness, Tanya, from our joint podcast, Mindful Mompreneur Moments. And oh yeah, if you could, please listen to the very end of the podcast for powerful insights from our guest. Thank you.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
We are excited to have you, Rebecca. Well, we'll jump right in. If you could tell us a little bit about your journey on becoming a meditation coach, and specifically how you came about to specializing in PTSD, maybe even explain what that means.
Right. And PTSD, it stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes now you'll hear it just PTS, because we try to leave off the disorder part. And really how I came to start teaching meditation in general is my own trauma that I experienced, you know, as a child. Really, the most traumatic thing that happened to me was around my mother's death when I was a teenager. And not knowing what PTSD was at the time, my dad is also a Vietnam veteran. So he was going through PTSD. And at that time, I'm a little bit older. I'm in my 40s. So when my dad had come out of Vietnam, there was no such thing as PTSD. And we can actually thank our veterans for being those people who are at the forefront of learning what PTSD is and how we can overcome it. So in my 20s, I was really struggling. I was married and it was not a very good relationship. And I started doing yoga and I felt amazing when I was on my mat. So I decided, I kind of ran out of options. I didn't know what to do in my life. I didn't understand these symptoms I was having with PTSD. All I knew is I felt better on my mat. So I told myself, I'm going to do yoga every day for 1 year. And I did it. And sometimes it was literally just rolling out the mat and crying on my mat, but that counted. And it changed my life. I ended up letting go of that relationship and coming to Southern California, where I started to work for the Chopra Center. Deepak Chopra is the leader of the Chopra Center, and he is a thought leader in meditation, yoga, and Ayurveda. So as I was working for him, I began training in meditation and yoga, and I really started to understand more from that mental standpoint what was happening with my trauma and how meditation was helping me. So that's what inspired me to become a meditation teacher. And then I also got more instruction and specialized in PTSD through a veterans organization called Connected Warriors. And I guess I just had that connection with veterans. So I just started 8 years ago, started teaching veterans as soon as I got certified. And I really liked working with veterans because they were so raw and real and very open with what was going on. And they were my best teachers. My students were. So fast forward now, about, a year ago, I guess, whenever the pandemic started, I had my son about 2 weeks before we went into lockdown. And it was a surprise cesarean. I call it a surprise, not an emergency, because I was somewhat prepared. I knew that I had trauma that might flare up around motherhood. So I had done my best to prepare for everything. And there was no preparing for what was to happen next, which we all know as we went into lockdown and a lot of our resources were taken away. So I wasn't able to do all of the support groups and things like that. I didn't have the support of my own mom. And I didn't realize that I had started to manifest this trauma again. And I just started to really, knowing that I had that background in PTSD, I thought, I'm having these symptoms of PTSD that I thought I had gotten rid of. But no, it turns out there is such a thing as birth trauma. And I wish we'd talk about it more, the trauma of not just the emergency cesarean, but then having that baby and all the things that we go on and on that changes in your life, the struggles, the heartache, and the beauty of it all. So I started to shift from just teaching veterans, which I still love and still do, to moving to wanting to help moms who maybe have had a birth trauma. And that doesn't have to be diagnosed. It could be self-diagnosed. It doesn't have to be PTSD, but it's something to overcome and to grow from. So that's what really has me here, wanting to help moms feel better, be the best moms they can be, which they already are. They just need to take off those layers that might be holding them back.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah. There's just so much that we could say from just that, what you said. And first, just giving thanks to veterans. I thought that was so powerful that you even thought of saying that, because PTSD has been at the forefront because of our veterans. And so we are thankful to them for bringing it to light, right?
Right. Not just for the fact they went to war for us, but yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if Shilpa, you had anything to add.
Oh no, just it really struck me, because I think we are in a generation or time where there are tools and where it's greater sense of awareness, so we can connect and help each other. When my father-in-law experienced it, there was no label, I don't think. This was in the very beginning, and it manifested for years until he was able to deal with it.
Right, exactly. And I think as mothers, back in, more primal times, there was a more of a mothering community. So it may have been easier as mothers. Like we're sort of in our own houses, a little bit removed from that community of moms, the aunties, the grandmothers. And that's what I believe that, what you two are doing is so beautiful, because you are creating that community for moms to kind of get back and to hold each other up and support each other.
Thank you. Yeah. And the fact that we're working moms too, it's so different from when, back when moms had to stay home. So they had each other as a community. So, you know, we're all about empowering each other. I think there's something massively important about it. And yeah, we look forward to talking to moms. And even if it's not moms, people who are like-minded, it's just a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
People who love all sentient beings, because
right.
you may not have given birth, but still, you still are connected and show love.
That's right.
That's a good point. Yeah. All manifestations, whether like you're a dog mom or just the have that a wonderful auntie, just having that, you're saying that love for sentient beings. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah. So besides the obvious, which is meditation, how do you integrate any mindfulness modalities at work or in your day-to-day life?
Well, and that can be hard because as a mom, it's easy to, while you're at work, you think about the kids, and while you're with the kids, you're thinking about work. So something that I do for that mindfulness practice is called single tasking. So instead of multitasking, which let's just face it, we're all going to be multitasking.
Especially right? as moms.
Right, exactly. Like it's almost second nature. And I think women are maybe biologically better than men at doing that. I don't know. but what I do is it's single tasking. Yeah, I know. I know. Actually, Deepak Chopra did do a study and he says it's true. So I'm going to say that it's true. But so single tasking, what's that? I'm sorry.
I think women have different neural pathways.
And maybe that's, you know, it's designed for a reason and it's not a bad thing, but it can be, you know, it can be separating and you're not fully into what you're doing, and it can kind of take the joy away from what you're doing. So single tasking is just that, you're focusing on one task at a time, whatever you're doing. So for example, if you're with your kids and this is your time with your kids, turn off the texts, turn off the phone, put the phone down. And then when you're at work, or say even, let's say you're going for a walk, you can even turn off your headphones and just go for a walk in nature, listen to the sounds of nature. All those things, that mindfulness practice helps bring joy into where you are in the present moment, instead of enjoying what you're doing, instead of thinking about the next thing in the future, worrying or ruminating, you're living in the present moment. And that's really how, it's the simplest way to do it, single tasking, one thing at a time. And even if it's something you don't like doing. So for me, I don't like doing dishes, but instead of trudging along doing dishes, wishing that they were done, being mindful, noticing the temperature of the water, noticing the soap, being grateful that you had food on these plates, things like that. That's really something for me, that how I practice mindfulness in day-to-day
choosing
life.
Choosing a dish soap that smells so good that you know, your senses are come alive, you know?
That's a great, you know what? I never thought of that, but you're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that women, or, you know, men as well, do that aren't chores or things we want to do. But I like how you expressed it, like becoming cognizant of the temperature. I often do a mantra in my head that's helps me kind of stay, I would say, grounded or present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
Now, now that you've mentioned some of the catalysts that led you to becoming more focused on mothers, I think you mentioned a cesarean section. Is that correct?
Yeah. I had a cesarean.
Yeah. So that piqued my curiosity, because my next question was, have you emerged into the next chapter of your life? But I'm curious, was that incident one of the triggers also?
Oh my gosh. You know, I hadn't thought about it, but it really was, because, and this is just me, so anybody out there who, I don't want to scare anyone, if you have a cesarean, it can be, you know, just fine and you can recover just fine. But yeah, it was a catalyst for me, because I wasn't expecting it. And the recovery from that, and struggling with breastfeeding and all the other things, I kind of was taken down to this point of, and I had been practicing for 20 years. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to yoga. No, doesn't work. Meditation, it's not working. None of this. I kind of hit sort of a dark night of the soul where I decided I'm going to give up. None of this stuff works. And it was my catalyst, I think, because I realized, I'm like, you know what, if that's the way you're going, that's a dead end thought pattern. And so I went back and I said, well, what did I do before? And that was that year of practicing yoga every day. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do 108 days of yoga again. And it was, at that time, it was very difficult. I couldn't even lie down on the ground without having a lot of pain. Just everything became painful. I actually ended up such inflammation that I had arthritis in all of my joints. And I just kept coming to the mat, doing that same practice of whether it's bringing my tears to the mat, my joy, whether it was 2 seconds or 10 minutes that I had. And that really was that catalyst to reemerge as something new. I did have to give up who I was before I was a mom. I'm just not going to be the same anymore. And it's a beautiful thing now, but I needed to have that reemergence, that sort of transformation. And that's how I did it, through yoga.
So the very topic or the meta theme of this podcast for Emergence is tuning in and healing and just listening to your story. I got bumps because I didn't know until this very moment when you shared your story that there are other women who were traumatized. I don't know if that's your word for it. I went through that. And this is the first time I'm sharing that with people, that I had a surprise cesarean and it didn't go well. I was in the hospital a long time and was dealing with unresolved trauma that was further accentuating it. So thank you for sharing that.
And you're both giving me goosebumps because it's so nice to hear different perspectives. And I think the using empathy is so important, because I didn't go through that. Mine were vaginal, but I've heard my friend, a very close friend of mine, say how much she struggled with the cesarean. And so being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoe, especially a mom, because there should be no judgment whatsoever, whether the mom is breastfeeding or not, whether it's a vaginal or a cesarean, there should be absolutely no judgment, because moms are moms. At the end of the day, we would do anything for our children. And so it's so powerful to hear you both kind of relate to the same experience.
Yeah. And in the same vein, even if you adopted or you, anything like that, mom is a mom, like, exactly right. And it is empathy. And that's, it's very important as we, you know, share our stories.
Extremely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca, what you have to share, the world needs it. I know I need it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And that's really what keeps me going, and knowing that even though it's hard, because I have a lot, you know, we have a lot on our plates as mothers, but I just feel like it's so important to share my story and hopefully help even just one mom.
That's right. And we thank you so much for sharing your story. Yeah. And so what insights would you share with our audience on how to emerge out of adversity?
Well, I think it's really understanding that there is another side. I have a friend who, she says with trauma, she's like, I wish I could just erase that trauma. I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want to live my life. And unfortunately, that's not what's going to happen, but there is this post-traumatic growth. So how can you grow from this? And having that mindset, and I know you all talk about mindset, having that mindset of what do I want now, and asking yourself, what do I want in this moment? What is my heartfelt desire or heartfelt mission? How can I help, and how can I serve both myself and others? And for me, that's how I started to emerge. And I don't want to say recreate myself, because I'm the same, but really just taking off the layers of things that were keeping me stuck, and to grow and have that growth and come full circle. And again, part of that is sharing your story, asking for help, and creating a community. So whether your modality, you really connect with meditation and yoga, or maybe it's more mindfulness or exercise or whatever it is, writing in your journal, finding those tools that speak to you and using them, and being patient with yourself as you start to transform into who you really are.
Yeah. And do you really want to erase any of your traumas? That's the question.
Exactly.
Too. You really want to grow from them, like you said. I don't think anybody should see, you should embrace any kind of adversity coming to you and use it as a growth opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard when you're in it.
Yes, absolutely.
But you just, you know, I've heard this, I think, from one of the veterans, the only way through hell is through. You can't turn around and go back. You've got to keep going through, and it will get better. And you will, like you're saying, you'll come to that moment. It will happen where you realize that you don't want to, you wouldn't want to erase that, because it helps you evolve to who you really are and who you're meant to be. So yeah, all those things that we've gone through as a society, as individuals, they're important and they're necessary for that growth.
Yeah. If you choose to take that path and grow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, what a blessing it is that we live in a generation at this point in time where there's not only awareness, but there's a safe space where we can share this. Like in this very conversation, I learned things that I didn't know other women were going through.
Right. Right. And that's exactly why it's so, the internet is so beautiful. You can find your people. That's, you know, I would never have met the two of you because we're in completely different parts of the world, but because we are like-minded, we found each other. And I think it's wonderful what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Like this conversation.
Thank you for your time, Rebecca.
I am so honored.
Hello again, Rebecca. Yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
So what would be the best marketing tip you can give us? Something that has best worked for you?
That's a great question. And one of the things that works the best for me, and it was sort of a struggle to get to that point, was to tell your story and tell your why. Why are you here? Selling what you're selling or giving or sharing what you're sharing. That for me is a struggle because I'm a private person, but that's how I've found people that really need to hear my message. So I think that for me has been something that has really taken me pretty far.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description, and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to be omnipresent.